going to continue our series on making room. Anybody making room for some stuff this year? I am. I'm making room for some stuff. I'm making room. Can you do me a favor? Help me make room. Can you invite somebody? Come back next week and invite somebody with you. We'll make room for you. I believe that God's doing something. He's up to something absolutely incredible in our lives. And today we're going to talk about making room for success. Making room for success. Let your neighbor say, do you have room for success in your life? Mark chapter 3, verse 13. And says, it's talking about Jesus. He went up on the mountain and called to himself those he wanted. And they came to him. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out demons. He called unto a mountain those he would, that they may be with him, and they came to him. There's something special about being a part of success. I've been around a lot of successful people. Ask me when. Somebody ask me when. 9:26 a.m. on January the 19th, I'm around some successful people. I'm preaching to a room full of them. People who feel this uniqueness, this call of God on their life to do something different. And when I'm around you, when you walk across the street, I feel something coming off of you. It's not about how you feel. It's about a decision that you've made to be successful. When you are around success, what you see always started before you see it. If you are around the church world now, there's a guy by the name of Mike Todd. Anybody heard of Pastor Mike Todd? He's out of Oklahoma. If you're on social media, you've probably seen a video of him or something like that. And he's just taking the word, a young 30-something-year-old African-American guy out of Tulsa or somewhere in Oklahoma who's got a diverse church, and he's killing it right now. Just moved into this big convention center type thing. But I remember probably about 4 years ago, I went to this thing called Inside Elevation at Pastor Steve Furtick's church. Steve Furtick pastors Elevation Church. You guys, you're on social media. You can't go anywhere without seeing him if you watch preachers nowadays. And I remember this young black guy. You ever seen somebody, whether you be at a concert, club, church, somewhere, and they just extra? Like, if y'all had been singing praise and worship, he was doing the Running Man 90 miles an hour. Like, and they had him sitting in a weird spot. He was sitting up front, like, really around nobody. He didn't even have a regular seat. And I'm like, this dude is too much. I'm like, man, he probably saved up everything he had to come to this conference and sleeping in his car and was just going nuts. And I laughed at him until the next year. And I saw him take off. And I heard his story that he wasn't even supposed to be there. It was on the waiting list, but he said, I'm going to drive here, and they're going to let me in, or I'm going to worship in the parking lot. There was this drive, there was this grit, there was this determination about him that he was successful before you see him walk into this convention center, that he knew that he was carrying something, so much so that he was willing to go to a place that he was not supposed to be in and didn't care about none of us looking at him. He was worried about God and tapped into what's in him. I think there's a point in life where you get beyond your image and what people think about you and say, I'm in church this morning, I'm going to work or whatever, and I know I got something special inside of me that's just waiting to be released. And here's the thing about success, you see it before anybody else sees it. And you got to be willing to be labeled crazy or a little off, or I don't know about that, because the proof is in the pudding. The people will see it eventually. There was a basketball player. They will. There was a basketball player. He's probably some of y'all's favorite basketball players. His name is Kobe Bryant.
Yes, sir.
And when I moved to Philadelphia, the newspaper, the sports section, had a full article about Kobe Bryant because he went to high school in Lower Merion there in Philadelphia. And they didn't interview him. They interviewed the lady he went to the prom with that he dated in high school. And they asked her, what was it like dating Kobe Bryant? She said, awful. And they asked her, why? Was he abusive? Was he crazy? Did he lock you in the closet? Did he have, you know, you're going to be on the next R. Kelly episode. What was the thing about him? Y'all just pardon me. And she said, no. She said, no. They said, what did a date look like with him? We watched tape of him playing basketball for hours. And he showed me what this opponent was going to do. And she said, I was not into that. So needless to say, the relationship didn't last that long. But Kobe Bryant, there's an air about him. He saw something before anybody else saw it. There was a reason that he walked around with the level of confidence that he had. I'm wondering, what do you see? If people look at the way you walk, if they look at the way you talk, can your walk and your talk convince them that I got something special that you don't see it yet, but you're going to eventually see it? Or is it the opposite? Like, I don't want nothing to do with that Jesus. That Jesus keep you mad? That Jesus keep you depressed? No, I want them to see the opposite. Well, in this scripture right here, can I give you a little background on how Jesus got here? Jesus walked into a synagogue, but here's something about Jesus. He knew he'd be successful. He walked this earth with a level of confidence that even at the age of 12, he was in the temple debating with priests, and he just knew who he was. He didn't take back from anybody. So he set his life up so his specialness could be communicated. And there are a lot of people who claim a lot of things, but he knew who he was. I read this statement the other day that is so true. It said, Lord, let my life be what I post it to be. Let my life look as pretty as what I post. But Jesus walked with this air because he knew he had power from God. And he took his call so serious that he took certain steps to set himself up to be successful. I'm going to communicate those steps to you of success through principles that are going to cause you to make room for success. Jesus did it. This scripture, he walked into the synagogue and there was a man there who had a withered hand. And they knew that Jesus was a healer. Just follow me for a moment. And they walked in here and they set Jesus up. They said, a person can't help but to be who they are. He's a healer, so he can't help but to heal people. And he's not going to take back who he was. And they were coming at him because he said he was the Messiah. He said he was the Savior of the world. And they said, let's put him in front of this person who's withered hand. And let's see if he succumbs to the pressure of what we put on him or if he's just who he is. Jesus looked around for a moment and said, I can't take this. Y'all in here reading the scriptures, y'all going through the Old Testament, y'all talking about this man as a healer, and he's sitting here with a withered hand. When's somebody going to do something? Jesus said, I can't take this no more. Come here. So he took the one hand that was whole and took the other one that was withered, and he prayed for it, and next thing you know, the hand was restored. And you would have thought the people would have went crazy like the healer is here. No, they sought to kill him. Jesus left the temple. He was so much who he was when he left. People heard of his fame, and sick people were following him. Sick people were following him, and demon-possessed people were following him. And he didn't even lay hands to cast them out. They recognized who he was and said, Son of God. When you are who you are, you ain't got to tell people. You walk with a swagger. You walk with sauce. You walk with stuff just dripping off of you. Why? Because when you're ate up with it, people can see who you are. And Jesus was sold with his success that when he healed people, he said, don't tell them who I am. Yes, come on now. Come on. Anybody God ever touched and he like, don't tell nobody. You telling everybody. Come see a man who saved my soul. Yes, come see a man who made me whole. Come see a man that helped me get out of debt. Come see a man that touched me. He did things that nobody else could do. Yes, but he said, this is overwhelming. So there were some guys who were following him. He said, we got to get this thing together. He said, y'all go get a boat and don't let anybody know, and we're going to go away for a moment. So it sets up the scene here with Jesus healing the sick, casting out demons. But he said, the success is too much. I got to figure out a way to deal with this. So he sets up right here. He said he called and went into a mountain whom he would. My main idea that I'm asking you today, Jesus did it with his life, but have you done it with yours? Are you set up for success? What is my life set up to produce? It's not enough to want it. I got to set my life up to produce it. Yeah. I want to encourage you today, if you are not, to become a follower of Jesus. But I want to let you know that when you accept him, that specialness that he put inside of you becomes so clear that you got to set yourself up to get it out. But let me warn you, Satan is robbing people every day of that specialness. He's robbing you through petty people. He's robbing you through drama. He's robbing you through depression and all these kind of things so that you don't live out this success. By the time you leave here today, I want you to lay all that stuff aside and say, I got something special in me. Jesus died for me, and I'm going to set myself up for success. How did he do it? Number one was the principle of identity. The Bible says he went up on the mountain. When you know who you are, you're not frantic about what's going on around you. Instead of fighting the people, Jesus said, I'm going to get away for a moment to plan out my next move. Never let anybody get you to the point where you react. Always take a step back and respond to what's going on around you. Because there is a difference between a response and a reaction. In a reaction, you say stuff that you don't really mean. You may mean it, but you don't need to say it. But you say a whole lot of stuff. But when you respond, you're calculated. Jesus said, I got to respond. He knew who he was. He knew what he wanted. But here's the thing about success. If you don't see it before you see it, you'll never see it. I know that's a lot, but look at your neighbor and say, if you don't see it before you see it, you'll never see it. You got to see it in a one-bedroom apartment. You got to see it with a cutoff notice from your electric department. You got to see it in the middle of nowhere. You got to see it in the middle of despondency. You got to see it when you feel like quitting. It's got to be in you, because if it's not in you, it'll never come out of you. When you try to produce something outside of you that's not in you, you know what that's called? It's called fake. It's not real. And that's why you're insecure about success. Success is not what you do. Success has to be something that's who you are. Here's the thing about us as human. We are human what? Beings. Say it again. We are human what? Beings. We are human beings, not human doings. You do out of what you be. And when you get your be right, what you do will take care of yourself. You don't hear me talk about a lot of behavior modification. You need to stop this. You need to go there and do this. Because if you ever figure out who you are, what you do flows out of who you are. Yeah. Touch somebody and say, just be. Just be. Nike said, just do it. I'm telling you, just be it. Yeah. Be whatever God's called you to be. But you got to make a decision to be successful. Not based on your emotions. Let me talk to your emotions for a moment. How many of y'all feel like waking up at 5 a.m. and working out? Most of us don't feel like it. How many of you feel like saving money when there's sales around everywhere? How many of you feel like a glass of water at 10:30 at night when the hot now sign is on? Don't feel like it. But how many of you want to be successful? Lift your hand in here. All of us in this room want it. And what you want doesn't have to be based on how you feel. So you make a decision and you produce what's in you. And you behave out of what you, I don't know about you, but I believe I'm successful. How can I fail when I'm already a success? One venture may not work, but I'm going to find something that does. Because what I do does not define me. What I do is a representation of what's inside of me. And if it don't work out, it means I got to get something right on the inside of me. Such a neighbor said, I know who I am. So he went into a mountain, so he did not react. He responded because he had identity. And the next thing is the principle of selection. The Bible says this, he called those to himself that he wanted. He called to himself whom he wanted. You get to call those who are with you. You cannot pick your family. You cannot pick your co-workers. But you can pick your circle of influence. You can pick who influences your life. And everybody needs somebody to influence them. Before I get going, the first principle that Jesus ever gave us that all of us need to grab, that our first call in life is not to be married. My first call in life is not to be a pastor. It's not even to be a friend. It's not to be a son. My first call in life is to be with him. And when I cease to be with him, nothing I do really gets the full benefit of who I am. Your first call is to be with him. And when you are strong in him, things begin to flow out. Look at your life. When things are not flowing right, ask yourself, how much have I been with him? All right? Now I got to ask you a question. He called us to him, but who are you calling to you? He called whom he would. What type of person do you want to be around versus what type of people are you actually around? How do I call people? I don't call people just by doing this. I don't call people just by who I befriend on social media. I call people by what I allow and I accept in my life. I call people by what I tolerate. I call people by what I put forth in life. Now, I got to ask myself this question. Who am I calling to me, not just with my voice, but with my actions? What type of expectation? I read somewhere, it ain't in the Bible, but you teach people how to treat you. When you do that, you tell people who I really want and what I would allow around me. Look at your neighbor and say, who are you calling? Let me give you some things. Before you call somebody, you got to know who and what to call. Because before anybody is with you, you got to know what type of with you need. Make room people already possess characteristics for you to make room for them. I want to be around some make room people. I want to be around people who are making room in their life. Even if they're not, they already have the potential to, not because of me, but because they made a decision. So I'm selecting those who are already doing certain things. I read this article about Vanderbilt, Harvard, and the Ivy League schools, and they were going after them. They said, are those schools so successful because they pick people who would have done well anyway? If you look at the Vanderbilt, Harvard, Brown, all those schools like that, the criteria to get in for the ACT, SAT is astronomical. The grade point average to get in is astronomical. And they ask them this question, are you this good because you pick people who are already good? But could you take somebody who's not that good and your educational standards raise them up to the level of good? What I love about the gospel is it can take people from the guttermost and educate them to get to the uttermost. Because when God selects you, he doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called and lifts you up to his standard. Anybody glad about it in here? Now, watch this. That's God. That's not you. Look at everybody and say, you are not God. Anybody try to play God in here? How's that working for you? It'll have you stressed out. The Bible says he never sleeps nor slumber. You ain't either. And he can work off no sleep. You can't. We stressed out because we trying to lift people up to a standard. I am selecting people. If they're not there, they want to be there. Because it's hard to want something more for somebody than they want for themselves. You all right in here? So I am looking, watch this. The two biggest things that people look for in selecting people, I think, is not just gifted and talented. You look for loyal and trustworthy people. Loyal people are this. They are not the, if something happened in your life, I always knew someone right. That's not loyal. That's waiting on something to come out. That's waiting on something. No, that is not loyal. No, that's not loyal. Loyal people are people who believe in you. Loyal people will fight for you. Loyal people will build you. Loyal people will encourage you. But they're like that because that's who they are. They're not like that because of you. They're like that because of who they are. You also want people you can trust. And I believe we asked the wrong question about trust. I told you guys this before. You ask, who can I trust? So your life is constantly cutting people off and bringing people in. Don't ask that question, who can you trust? Ask, how can I trust? I'm not going to kick Isaiah out of my house because he cannot budget our account. If I gave Isaiah access to the debit card and money, he going to have every pair of Jordans. He going to have M&Ms. He going to eat a Longhorn and Maggiano's every night. And we're not going to pay the mortgage. It's not important for him. So it's not that I don't love him, but I don't trust him with money. The problem is we gave trust a bad name because you trusted people with something they can never handle. So whenever you talk to people, you always evaluate, to what level can I trust you? How much can I tell you? You all right in here? So I'm looking at not who, I'm looking at how. So when you're selecting with trust, who, or not how versus who, and I'm looking at, are you already loyal because that's what you decided to be? That's how you call people to you. The next principle, is it making sense in here? Yes, is the principle of environment. The Bible says he called unto them whom he would, and here's what I love, they came to him. Make room for people who make room for you. That didn't hit. Make room for people who make room for you. It is hard when you got a one-sided relationship when you making room for people who have not made room for you in your life. Let me give you this principle. You don't have to beg somebody to stay who don't want to leave. If they want to stay, you can't run them off. You can't chase them off. Because they make a response. And here's what happens. When a person who knows what they're called to do finds your call, you begin to do something amazing together because you're not trying to convince them of something they don't believe. Many of us are trying to drag people to a place that they don't believe themselves, and they're calling your liberty bondage, when in reality is they're in bondage because it don't make sense to them why you would work over. It don't make sense to them why you would be nice to somebody who's mean to you. It doesn't make sense to them if you're not getting the playing time that you want, that you're still cheering your players on from the bench. It don't make sense to them that you're doing things the way they should be done, even when nobody's looking. That doesn't make sense to them. So it appears to be bondage. You're not getting ahead. Here's how you get ahead. But you want people who are already made a decision. This is how I'm going to be. It's called the principle of environment. And you attract people to wherever you are. I want to attract people who are already successful, who have a desire for success. I've been loving watching the movie Harriet. I watch it just a couple times a week. Don't ask me how I got it, but I love watching it. And I finally got the version that's clear. I finally got the version that they ain't moving every about 3 seconds. I got the version that looked like it did when I went to the movie, so I'm all right now. Y'all pray for me. Some of you said, I had that version months ago. Talk to you. Yeah. Here's what Harriet Tubman said. She said, I freed 1,000 slaves, but I would have freed 1,000 more if they would have known they were slaves. You're trying to rescue somebody and they're not coming to you. You're trying to help somebody and they're not coming to you. You can only help those who come to you. When it comes to dreaming in your life, you can't dream off the budget you want. You got to dream. I mean, you can't live off the budget you want. You got to live off the budget you have. You can dream all day long, but you can't live your dream out until you get there. You all right? So I got to know where I am. I got to know what bondage looks like. I got to know what freedom looks like. And I create an environment of people who like to win. And when they come to you, when I come to you, when you have a winner's mentality, I'm not constantly pulling you down. Here's a question I have for you to show you something in your life. How did you meet the people closest to you? I guarantee you the people who are closest to you, I got a lot of people I grew up with, and the reason we're close now is not because we grew up together. The reason we're close now is because we're walking the same path. I do a lot of what I do around here from even a pastor, from a ministerial point of view, Elder Homan and Sam. They do a lot to help support around here, and I was thinking about Sam. I'm like, Sam, how did we get to a point where we bonded? And he told me something in my office this morning, because I didn't know you were the same age as me until about a year ago. Sam, can you come for a second? Tell them, I wanted him to share his story. Tell them how we connected. I had no idea what was going on.
A couple of years ago, I went through a trying time in my life. I had to give up my home, automobiles, and everything. And it was then that I knew that really who God was, I had to let everything go. But during that time, me and my family, we were staying at a hotel. Y'all didn't know that. And we'd leave church and go to this hotel. Leave church, go to this hotel. We did that for months, trying to determine where we were going to stay and what path I was going to go. But my principle was I was going to stay on track because I wasn't going to give up because I did what God called me to do. But one day I didn't have too much of nothing anyway. I let everything go. And pastor called me. I was in the hotel room, and I didn't really know him. You know, but he said, hey, I want to give you some food for your family. And I met him over there at the gym, over there around the corner in my truck. And he gave me he gave me $200 and he gave me a plate of food. And I went back to the hotel and said, baby, look, we got us some food and we got a little change for the next time something going to happen. And it was then, I say all that to say, not to tell you my business, but I'm telling you all this to say, it was then that I knew that he loved me. Because it was in that crisis moment of my life when I didn't know what to do that he stepped in. Because he could have said, Sam, it was your fault. You shouldn't have did this and that. But he showed love. So I hope that's what you wanted. So I'm
Sam, we're going to preach on you. The principle of environment is this. A brother is born for adversity. And when you're at your lowest, when you don't know how you're going to make it, that's when the people who really love you show up and show out in your life. In my life, I thank God for the people that when I was down, they came right there and got right there with me. You are closest to the people you are close with when you are at your lowest. They're right there. And when you are at your highest, they are not critiquing your success. I said a lot right there. They allow you to enjoy your success and don't remind you of the missteps to get there. They're not the, I remember when people. That's Sam, but I remember Sam. No, the principle is about when people come to you, a brother's born for adversity, when you're at the highest moment of your life, that's when you connect with people. A lot of us wonder, why am I struggling to really connect with this person? And the question you got to ask yourself is, what is the connection? Where did we connect? If you connected and it wasn't based off of going forward, it's a very hard because it's a tug of war. And you almost feel like you got to choose between success and this relationship. Because every time you take a step forward, you're changing on us, ain't you? It's always something negative. It's always, I ain't going there with you. I don't even like them. You don't know them people. And you put me in weird situations and feelings because I'm trying to move forward and do something different, and you want more of the same. You all right in here? The Bible said they, thank you, appreciate that, Sam. They came to him. Two more and I'm through. The last one is the principle of buy-in. I'm a sports person. I love watching Coach Chestnut. They're playing now in the middle school tournament. Coach Reed, a lot of you guys have coached. I love watching what coaches do with teams. But you know what I love about a team? I love about a team not just by what I see on the floor. I love when I see the bench, and the bench is just going as nuts as the people on the floor. I love watching LeBron James and them cut a fool when their teammates dunk, and they just going as nuts just as much as they are. You can always tell who's bought in your life by how they respond when you winning and by how they respond when you're losing. Buying in, can I say this? He appointed them that they may be with him. He set the culture. He defined the relationship. This is how we're going to do. And you can tell when people buy in because a lot of us want to be successful, but we flirt with failure. And you cannot flirt with failure and expect success to show up in your life. At a certain point, we got to make a decision. Either I'm going to be successful or I'm going to go on this side. Sam, I love what he said. He said, I don't care where I am. I'm not going to quit. And he was the same Sam living in that hotel as he is right now running those schools in Memphis. Because he saw it before he saw it, and that's what kept him going. I want to encourage you in here. You'll never get the full benefit of where you are until you buy into where you are. And buy-in is evident in your language, in your body language, in your verbal language, in your confession of faith, and in your lifestyle. The last thing is this. It's the principle of release, and I'm going to be honest with you guys. Here's the hardest principle that I struggle with when it comes to success. Because the Bible said this. He called them to whom he would. They came to him. He spent time with him. He appointed them. He gave them authority. He gave them power. And then he sent them out to preach. Those who are with you will not always be with you, but they'll always be with you. How many of y'all have kids in here? How many of you have kids who have graduated? They are not with you, but they're with you. In success, the principle of release is the people who are here may not always be here, but just because they're not here doesn't mean they're against me. You have to learn how to allow God to move and shift how he does. I have been a part of Christ's temple, Word Center, Living Word, Perfecting Faith. I've been a part of four churches, and now I pastor this one now. I'm not a part of the churches that I have always been a part of. So I have to get out of my mindset that everybody who's here now will be here for the rest of your life. Now, don't leave unless the Lord tell you. As I'm saying that. I love all of you, every single last one of you. I'm going to chase you if you're not. No, I'm just playing. I'm not going to do that. No. But the principle of release is hard when you are just saying, God, just bless me. God, just bless me. When God says this, everything I bring in your life, I'm doing it to meet a need. And he said, I'll always meet a need in your life. So he said this to me, don't hoard money. That's the difference between saving and investing. He said, don't hoard people. Learn to live with an open hand so I can put in what I need to put in, take out what I need to take out, and leave your feelings with me. Because I'm a God of expansion. And if you know you are a success, you're going to grow in every season of your life. Many of us are trying to hold on to a season that is over with. Y'all remember the Jerry Curl of the 80s? Y'all remember the activator on the end of the pick that people would bring out that they try to revive that wasn't there no more. An activator don't revive a curl when there ain't no curl in there. There's got to be a curl in there to make that little thing spiral up. And when it's time for a new curl, activator won't do it. You are trying to resuscitate some things. You are trying to sprinkle water, do all these things on these things that God said. I want you to ask yourself this question. Is it time to release it for something new? Because there could be some things, some mindsets. And immediately, y'all thinking about people. I'm going to cut that one off when I leave here. I'm going to cut that one off. Let me warn you about living like that. Because while you making a list, you on somebody's list. I done went way longer than I want. What I am talking about releasing is not people. It's a mindset that allows you to grow because I am open. Do you not know that if I would have never released certain mindsets, I would not be here in the middle of the country and I would not have gotten a chance to meet you because I thought God only lived in the city. I still think he lives there. He lives out here now. But I didn't think, no, you don't do that. But because I abandoned the mentality that I have to be on a main thoroughfare in a main city, in a metropolitan city in the world, and I said, God, you can turn nowhere into somewhere because you placed me there, I get the opportunity to meet you. When you learn to release what God is saying release, and let him do phenomenal things, success shows up in your life. Last point, stand to your feet. Success is not achieved. Success is released. It's you releasing what God placed inside of you. Father, I thank you. I pray that I did justice to what you were saying this morning. All over this room, there are many of us. Perhaps you're in this room and you're not with him. And I said the first call in life is to be with him. And you're not with him in relationship. And you said, I want to be with him. I want to give you an invitation to walk with a Savior. He'll walk with you wherever you go. He'll forgive you. He'll sustain you. He'll keep you. If you're here today and you don't know this Savior, I didn't ask you the condition of your life. I ask you, do you know him? Have you not committed your life to him? Can you just slip your hand up? Just slip your hand up wherever you are and I'll lead you to the Lord. I got you. Just repeat that to me. Father, I thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. I'm making a decision this morning. I want to be with you. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And I confess Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, here's my prayer. You're in this room. Do not define yourself by your mistakes. Don't even define yourself by your successes. We define ourselves by who God says who we are. And you will produce that success even in the midst of failures. Wherever you go, always remember the law of identity, the law of selection, the principle of attracting an environment around you, the principle of buy-in, and then the principle of release, that wherever you are, whoever you are is released in that setting, and you will always be a success in Jesus' name. Hey, I want you to speak an affirmation over somebody's life. Shake their hand or hug them and tell them, you are a success in Jesus' name.